Conference record has joined the conference.
Hello, everybody. This is Patrick Curran, chair of the JCP, Java Community Process Organization, and welcome to the second of our 2014 Public Executive Committee. We also have Heather Vancura. Heather, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Heather Vancura, and I'm the manager of the program office for the JCP, and I'll be speaking later in the meeting. Thanks, Patrick.
Okay. So we do this twice a year, while we don't often get very many people dialing in live to the meeting, we record them, members of the public, I mean, we do record them and we post the recordings on jcp.org, and we know that people do download them. So for the EC members who are participating today, don't be disappointed if we don't see a lot of public participation. Typically, we ask for questions, we get almost none, or usually none. But that doesn't mean that this isn't a useful activity, and it is part of our outreach, part of our openness and transparency outreach. So, having said that, I'm going to do a quick roll call, just so that the people who are listening can at least hear the voices and the names of the EC members who are present. We have three new members who were just elected in a few weeks ago. This is their first meeting. And I'm going to ask each of them to introduce themselves and say a little bit about who they are and why they are interested in, why they have been interested, why they joined the JCP, and why they ran for election. So let's do a quick roll call. As I call out each company name, I'm going to ask you to just, if you're present, respond with a yes and say your name so that at least people will know who it is who is representing the different organizations on the executive committee. So do we have anybody from ARM?
Yes, Patrick. This is Paul Manfrey.
Paul. Azul, I think Azul said they were not able to attend the second half of this meeting. Nobody from Azul? Okay. Credit Suisse?
Yes, this is Susie Czech. All
right. Clips? Clips. Mike, are you there? Okay. Ericsson?
Yes, Tracy here.
Freescale. Nobody from Freescale. Fujitsu.
Mike DiNicola with Fujitsu.
Patrick, Greg Hemstreet's here from Freescale. Sorry, my mute that wasn't working.
Okay. I get that. Jim Malto.
Yes, this is Florian Denzin.
Goldman Sachs.
Hi, Patrick. This is John Weir from Goldman Sachs.
Hi. Hazelcast.
Yeah, this is Kurt Engelbert.
Hi. HP.
Hello, this is Scott Jameson from Hewlett-Packard.
IBM.
This is Steve Wolf from IBM.
Steve. Intel. Intel. Werner Kyle.
Yes, I'm here.
London Java Community.
Hey, this is James Cole.
James, hello. Gail Magnuson.
Hi, present.
Again. Microdoc.
Hendrik Helfer, hello.
Hello, Hendrik. Oracle.
This is Don Deutsch from Oracle.
Don. Red Hat.
Scott Stark.
Scott. SAP.
Sanjay Patil from SAP, hello.
Software AG.
Hi, this is Prasad Genluri.
So Java?
Hi, this is Bruno Souza from Sojava.
Bruno. Totus.
Hi, this is Hernan Peroni from Totus.
Oh, hello. Twitter?
Yes, this is Chris Anasikas here.
Vedosh.com.
Hi, this is Leonardo Lima from Vitacom, or Vedosh.com in Portuguese.
Leonardo, hi. Okay. Let's ask the three new members, Hazel Kasker, Magnuson, and Microdoc, to briefly introduce themselves, and then we'll move on to the business on our agenda. So, Hazelcast?
Yeah, this is Chris Engelbart. I'm working for Hazelcast as Senior Solution Architect and Evangelist, and we joined the JCP, especially for JSON 107, JCache, and 347, the data grid things. We are a distributed data grid, so this is definitely what we're looking forward to help with.
Okay, welcome. Thank you. Geir Magnuson.
Hi there. My name's Geir Magnuson, Jr. I'm representing myself. I'm an independent representative. I have some history with the JCP, having represented the Apache Software Foundation on the EC for a number of years in the aughts, I guess it would be. I'm really glad to be back. I am a professional software developer and an open source, I guess, enthusiast, for lack of a better word. So I hope I bring a perspective that combines both the interests of what individual commercial practitioners as well as open source supporter.
Thank you, Gia. And Microdoc.
My name is Hendrik Hofer. I'm technical director at Microdoc. Microdoc is a German software company focusing on embedded Java for various markets and industries, especially in the automotive space. Two examples of embedded Java applications in vehicles is head units or telematics systems. And we want to work on those JSR that touch the embedded space to make sure that the requirements that we see are fulfilled.
Okay,
hello?
Thanks, Juan. Is Patrick still there? Okay, we might have lost Patrick. So I think our next agenda item was...
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I've muted myself temporarily and I forgot to unmute. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, sorry. So first of all, Heather will do a PMO report covering the elections, recent new JSR news about what's happening on the JSR front, and then membership recruiting and membership activities. And then we're going to have a something new for one of these public meetings is a discussion of a proposal for JSR. It has not been submitted yet, but we have had several discussions in the EC about how it is valuable for people to socialize their ideas for JSRs, certainly with the executive committee, but also with the public, before they actually submit the formal JSR proposal. We don't want to be kind of blindsided by a JSR proposal that suddenly ends up on the ballot and we don't really know where it came from and so on and so on. So we encourage socializing it, and in that spirit, Andres Almere will lead a brief discussion about a proposal that he has for a JSR that he would like to file. So I'm going to stop talking now and pass it over to Heather. I will bring up, I think I have Heather's report here. Heather, you just tell me when you want me to move
okay.
Screen, and otherwise I'm going to mute myself for the moment. Okay? Over to you, Heather.
Okay. That sounds good. Thanks, Patrick. So, yes, this is a program office report, and this is something that I do in the EC meetings that we have about three times a year in the face-to-face, is report on these topics, and we thought it would be a good idea to present an update here in the public EC meeting to update the community on what's going on. So the topics we're going to cover are the elections, JSR updates, and a membership update. So starting with the election that we briefly just touched on, the election results are now final for 2014, and you can view them at this URL on slide 2. And on slide 3, I just kind of summarized here for you. We had this year very high considering the past participation for the JCP Executive Committee elections. We had a 20% voter turnout. We also held a Meet the Candidates call, which is now available linked off of the URL presented previously, where you can view all of the candidates and their biographies and qualification statements. The position paper is optional, as well as the audio recording if you're interested in hearing from the candidates. We had quite a few candidates this year. We had 11 elected candidates for the 5 open seats, so we're pleased with that participation. And we have MicroDoc as a new confirmed ratified EC member. All of the ratified candidates were confirmed. And the elected candidates for the 5 open seats were Arm, Azul, Hazelcast, Werner Kyle, Ear Magnuson. And so the new members, we have our Hazelcast and Ear Magnuson on the elected seats, and Cloud Bees and Morocco Jug term ended with this election. So that's the summary of the election. I could just pause and see if anybody has questions on this topic before we move on to the JSR update. That was a brief summary of our results for the 2014 Executive Committee election. So if anybody has any questions, you can chime in now. Otherwise, we'll move on to JSR updates. Okay, so we'll move on to the JSR update. And again, this is something that I do in every EC meeting, update on JSR. So this might be something of interest to the community to give you a summary, but all of this information is publicly available off of jcp.org. Best way to kind of get immediate updates is on the Twitter feed, the JCP Twitter feed, which is jcp_org. If you aren't following that, I would follow that to get immediate updates when JSRs are posted. But on the next slide, I summarize the JSR activity that we've had since September, which is when our last EC face-to-face meeting was. We've had 12 new JSRs filed, which is significant, quite a few new JSR activity. And these are primarily the Java EE 8 JSRs. So the Java EE platform specification was filed along with 7 of the JSRs planned to be part of that release in September. And just recently, last month in November, we had 3 new JSRs filed with their ballots that are starting today. Those are Java EE-focused JSRs. And then also, exciting news, in November, we had the first Java SE9 JSR submitted, which is JSR 376. The Java Platform Module System. So listed here, all of the JSR numbers and titles and their status. So first ones have all been approved. The last 4 have EC ballots going on now. The ballots started today, and those are 2-week ballots. So we'll look for the results of those on the 22nd of December, since those ballots are starting today. So these are all JSRs going on now. Expert groups are open if you're interested in participating in any of these technologies. And, of course, you can participate as a public observer as well through all of the transparency changes that were introduced as part of the JCP.next effort. All of these JSRs have public wikis and discussion forums, archives, as well as issue trackers that you can review and comment on there if you aren't on the expert group. It's very easy to follow along. And we also have the Adopt a JSR program that you can participate in through your Java user group. So that is the JSR update. And I'll pause again for questions if anybody has any questions or comments about the new JSRs. Okay, so we can move on to my third topic in the PMO report, and this is a membership update.
This, again, is something that we've been discussing with the executive committee for some time. We include membership updates to keep the executive committee informed. So this is useful to share with the community as well. So on slide 7, we start the report. Just to summarize what we've been doing with the membership, back in 2011, we began an effort to update and get the membership current. So we started with the corporate membership category. As you may know, we have different levels of membership in the JCP. You can join as a corporation, as a Java user group, or kind of institution. So there's institutional membership, which is what a Java user group member is currently. And then you can also join as an individual. So we have those different levels of membership currently. And we started with the corporate membership. So we started that effort in 2011, and as a result of that, we did have a decrease in our membership. We currently have 881 members total, so we broke it down here for you so you can see that. And I get into a little bit of detail about what we did here on slide 8. So what we found when we started the corporate memberships was we were getting a lot of cancellations with the corporate memberships since historically we have a fee associated with the corporate membership of $5,000 per year. So we found that many of the corporations were either becoming licensees where we were waiving the fee or their JSR engagement was final, or they really were thinking that the $5,000 a year was a little bit too much, and they weren't sure if that was justified, and they decided that they would cancel. So kind of a combination of no JSR participation going on right now, and the fee is a bit of a barrier for us, so they were canceling. And we also had some consolidation and bankruptcy. So lots of acquisitions and mergers since the couple of years since we had been contacting the corporate members. So we had a decrease in our corporate membership, and I think on slide 9, I talked a little bit about what we did as a result of that. At the same time, we had I didn't go into that, but I'll just say at this point. So at the same time, we had a working group going on with the executive committee where we were talking about some of the changes that we were doing with JCP.next. And one of the things that we decided to do as a result of trying to broaden our JCP membership through JSR 364 was we were going to eliminate the fees. So I'll talk a little bit about what we're doing with our corporate members on the next slide. On slide 9, I talk about individual membership renewals. So these are still in progress, but we had at the start about 1,000 JCP members, and we started an effort with individual members. If you're an individual member, you probably got several emails from the JCP program office over the summer asking you to confirm your contact details and renew your membership. We hadn't done that for several years as well. So we currently are processing renewals. 29% of those are currently being processed. About 9% of those, we're currently in the process of collecting the exhibit fees, which is an agreement that is required from individual members from their employer. And we canceled about 61% of these through no response or people saying that they were not currently participating in the JCP or their employer wasn't willing to sign the Exhibit B. And only about 1% of these were bounces where we didn't have an email address at all, although several email addresses in the 61%, I think, could be silent drops. So that's where we are with the individual membership renewals. So in tandem with this, on slide 10, as I said, we started kind of some new member outreach efforts around the corporate membership. Since as part of JSR 364, we are planning to eliminate all of the fees for JCP membership. We did decide to go ahead and target some of our community members and offer them the waived fees, since that is part of our plan, not to have any fees. So we aren't collecting any fees right now from any of our corporate members. And we also contacted several participants that have been active in the community and offered them this option to participate through the JSRs that they were looking at participating in as a corporation and waiving their fee. So as a result of this, we've had 27 new corporate memberships since we started this effort earlier in 2014. And I've listed here the new corporate memberships that we've gained, as well as 7 new Java user group members and 28 new individual members. So I think you can see, just looking historically over time, which I don't show here, that we hadn't had very many new corporate members joining over the last several years. We had primarily been having Java user groups join, as well as individual members, and in many cases, the individuals that were joining were saying that their corporate employers would be interested in joining, but the fee was a barrier. So I think this is kind of a test of our use case that broadening the membership and gaining back our corporate members, the fee really is a barrier, and we've had some success in bringing in new community members, which is important to keep the membership balanced, since we are seeing quite a shift of primarily individuals and not so many corporate members anymore. So that it shifted from early on being the case of mostly corporate members and no individual members, where we saw kind of the tide shift to almost all individual members. Now we're trying to bring that back into balance. And as we talked about in June in the public EC meeting, if you want to hear more about JSR 364, primarily the entire public EC meeting for June, which is available on the jcp.org multimedia page, is on JSR 364 and explaining what that's all about and what we're doing with that. So I encourage you to go back and listen to the June meeting to hear more about JSR 364. Okay, I think I have maybe 2 more slides on the membership. Nope, no more slides on the membership. But yeah, I thought I had one. Was the previous slide 11? Okay, slide 11. So as I said, working on completing the individual membership renewals, we will complete that in the beginning of 2015. We're seeing an increase in the corporate memberships as a result of the waived membership fee, and we do expect to see more members joining with more recruiting efforts. It does take kind of that one-on-one direct effort, so we are looking at contacting our previous members and also potential new members, and we've been talking in the EC as well with our Java user group executive committee members about how to reach out to potential new corporate members and allowing the Java user groups to offer fee waivers to their companies that they work with in their local community, a fee waiver, before we can expect that to be officially implemented into part of the JCP through JSR 364, and at that point it would be official on jcp.org as part of our procedures that there aren't any fees for employers. At this point, it isn't finalized yet, since JSR 364 is still being worked on with the executive committee as the expert group through the JSR process. So it's currently in early draft review, and we do hope to have that finalized in the first part of 2015. We're currently working on it, so we'll keep you updated on the progress there. Those are our current efforts with membership. So I'll ask if there are any comments on membership before we transition to our next agenda item. Okay, well, thanks for listening. I hope you find this helpful. Again, if you have thoughts for other agenda topics on these public EC meetings, let me know. I'm happy to include them in the future. We'll have 2 more public EC meetings in 2015. So that concludes the membership and the PMO reports for the public EC meeting. I think I saw an instant message from Andres, who's going to take the next agenda item, which is his pre-proposal for a new JSR that he's anxious to hear feedback from the executive committee as well as the community.
Yes, hello everybody. I'm sorry for being late. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thanks for joining.
Okay, thank you. This is going to be a little bit difficult. If I don't believe I have control of the slides, do I?
I can give you.
Oh yeah, Patrick's doing it. You can just say next slide. Yeah, no worries.
I can give you a role, actually.
If you're on WebEx, you want to do it yourself?
Yeah. Oh, wow. You are now the presenter. Okay, so I guess I have to look at the slides, which on my desktop, that should be easy.
You have to share the application from the menu up on the top of the screen.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And this will just take a couple of seconds, and there we go. I've got a PDF, and I'll do the share, which is share desktop. There we go. You guys can see this now?
Not
yes.
yet. Now I can.
Okay, perfect. So as I mentioned, this is a proposal for creating and originally was called Desktop Application Framework, but has been kind of renamed to Desktop Embedded Application API JSR. Now, for those that don't know me, well, very briefly, this is me. I'm one of the Java champions, and I've been working on building desktop applications since the early days, in the beginning. So I have seen across the years that there are so many different options that we have for building desktop applications. But when you compare them to the high amount of other options that you have on building web applications or just server-based, well, there's nothing in comparison. And we keep reinventing the wheel or trying to do the same things over and over again, just differently. And I believe that now is the time to come up with something that can standardize how we can build these kind of applications. So there have been a couple of previous attempts. The first one was JSR 193, the client-side container, in 2002. This was proposed by Adam Bean, and I think the idea was to do something very similar to what was happening in the server side with Java EE at the time. But for some reason, this JSR was withdrawn. Apparently, I don't know exactly what was the history of this thing, but it's just very, very quickly it was just withdrawn. Then later in 2006, we got a pair of JSRs that were very interesting, 96 and 295. Swing Application Framework actually lived for 3 years, but there were some changes in leadership, and I believe one of the problems with JSR 96 is that it was not really that ambitious. So I'm looking at the goals that appear on the website for JSR 96. I pretty much decided that how to create an application like SACO, when you pretty much have something like bootstrapping phase, startup, ready, main, shutdown, something like this, so that pretty much every application goes through this life cycle. Localization of resources. At the time, we didn't have any JSR for dependency injection. That came later. So I think this was, this could have been solved in a different way. Precision of session state. This is related to preferences and configuration. Loosely coupled actions. Just a way for you to define what is behavior and how you can attach this kind of behavior to visual components. And at the time, this JSR only targeted Swing for obvious reasons, even though SWT was there. And well, we still were 1 year away from discovering what F3 and JavaFX could bring to the table. So now fast forward to this year, we're pretty much on the end of 2014, and we got several UI toolkits to choose from. I'm highlighting the big first three, because this is what most people use today. Swing, just because it's in the JDK since a long time ago, and JavaFX, new kid on the block, which is pretty good. It's almost as a full replacement for Swing. In my opinion, it's not yet there, but it can be. And SWT, which is definitely showing its age as the same as Swing. But there are a few others, like Apache Pivot, Lantern, UTT, and maybe a couple other smaller ones. And we also have several frameworks to choose from, that we can pick one of these to create desktop applications, whether they are targeting a very specific set of, stereotypes, like Eclipse for Platform, NetBeans. These are CP applications. They force you in a good way to follow a specific design. You have a workbench, which you have perspectives and you have more things. but we can build test applications in a much smaller way than are needed. For example, just regular code correlation. So maybe using Skype. Skype doesn't need these settings of perspectives and workbenches and whatnot. And there are some other options. We also have some that are targeting JavaFX directly. What's interesting is that all these frameworks right now, they deliver these kind of features pretty much in different ways. Of course, Eclipse is tied to OSGI. NetBeans has its own modular system, which may be or may not be OSGI. The other frameworks don't care so much about this kind of modularity. But all of them have persistent session state. They have localized resources, whether they do it with annotations or other kind of helpers, that doesn't matter. They all support dependency injection. They have an event bus system, which may be very big or be maybe small. And they also have extension points via plugins. So I think that we can create a JSI standardizing all these features. Now, the target environment so far has been just the desktop. But in the last few years, Oracle has been pushing aggressively a lot in a good way, IoT and embedded Java. So I think it makes sense that we do the same thing with this JSR. It's not just for building desktop applications, but also for embedded Java. If you want to run an SE application on a Raspberry Pi, well, certainly you can do it. So anywhere you can run SE, we should be able to run this particular implementation of this JSR. You can even share some portions of the code base if you want to. I know there's very specific things to do in embedded space versus a desktop, but there are a lot of things that are almost the same between these two environments. So the goals for these JSRs will be to target both environments, both desktop and embedded, support several toolkits so we don't say this is only supporting Swing or only JavaFX going forward, but we figure out a way to create the necessary abstractions so that we support the toolkits that are being used today and be ready for the toolkit that may come tomorrow. I also would like to propose this as a standalone JSR, so it makes no need for the time being to be tied to a JDK release. We don't need to push this into the JDK. In the future, we have all the advantages like Jigsaw, so guess it will be a matter of reviewing this decision in the years to come. We will also like to leverage existing JSR, so we have dependency injection. There is an event bus coming in CDI2.0, which I've been told is likely that this JSR 365 is going to break out in smaller pieces. If that is the case, then we can reuse the event bus specification without pulling everything that is coming in CDI2. If this were not to be the case, then we could reuse some of the information or the know-how that the CDI to our spec producers, and then we'll create an O. This is kind of the same thing that we had to do with Java config. There is no longer a JSR for Java config at the moment. What we could do is come up with our own version of what the config should work for these applications. Maybe it's closer to what the team of Apache Tomato is doing, prototyping how this API could look. And maybe in the future, if this JSR comes back, then the desktop embedded JSR will be ready to embrace the new one. The core features that I would like to tackle, but it's, of course, this is related to when we form the expert group, how we decide how much of these things are going to be covered in the first version. It's pretty much what we saw before. The application lifecycle is a must. Localized resources and internationalization must be there. Configuration, MVC artifacts, this is perhaps a little bit closer or unless in essence with what is going is now proposed for the MVC JSR in Java EE space. Desktop applications will definitely benefit a lot from separating concerns in modern view and controller. Loosely coupled actions, as before, this is definitely another must. We will reuse dependency injection for JSR 330. The event bus system, as I mentioned before, we might reuse or create our own. Central lateral management and extension points via plugins, which, of course, if we can allow this, then many other people can build their own extensions to the JSR. We don't have to create everything on our own. Possible additions in the future, which may be tied to the runtime, like persistent session state. You notice that I said mentioned this, that this was perhaps related to preferences or maybe Java config. I think we can still leave this out for the moment. And artifact instrumentation API, this is a way for the application to tell how many controllers does it have, what actions belong to a controller, and what can be called inside of you. Now, this is useful to do some kind of a scaffolding and meta introspection of the application, which is desirable, but it's not essential. So this can also be pushed forward to a later stage. And every kind of application has to have some kind of way to deploy itself and also test. This is looking into the build space, which given that there are so many build options out there, there's definitely no way that we can standardize on a specific build tool, but perhaps there are some additions that can help test and deploy these things. Again, consider that there are a lot of options here. Standardizing at this point might not be a good idea. We have some supporters in the last few months. I've been talking to people around at Java One and other conferences. And we have some Java champions that have expressed their support, saying this is a good idea, and maybe they would like to join us eventually. We also have well-known Java community members and a few vendors. The one that I listed here is located in Switzerland. I got in touch with them just because it was easy for me also living in Switzerland. But there are a few others also that I have not listed here. But most of the people I have talked to, they say it makes sense. They want to have something that can be shared across different implementations. They want to have the option that if they pick a framework today or a platform that if it's not working very well for them, then they can switch over. And there is not so much of a need that if they pick a toolkit today, then they can switch to another one, but it's also a possibility that this JSR can bring. So this has been very quickly. I've been told that I have like 15 minutes to make the case, so I hope this has been a bit of, it was a bit fast, but I still have some time for questions if you have them.
Yes, so does anyone have any questions or comments on this proposal? So EC members or community members, any thoughts? This is a follow-up from the blog that Andres wrote, if you read that, that I sent out to the alias a month or so ago.
Chris from Hazelcast, just for clarification, as far as I understood, this proposal is meant to be for applications that are not, or show not the typical behavior of Eclipse or NetBeans, like perspective and kind of things, right?
Actually, yeah. So it can target that kind of applications. For example, you can say if this JSR comes to life, then both Eclipse and NetBeans could implement the JSR themselves, and they can also produce applications that implement the JSR and then continue to deliver the workbench and perspective notion. It shows that right now, when you build an application with these tools, you always have the same stereotype for applications. You cannot build something that is less. This JSR will allow you to build as up as you want to. It can be very small, or it can be an application that contains workbenches and perspective. But you can see that these kind of big applications like ID-like applications, they still need internationalization or action management or centralizer management. And if you have a small application, well, you will definitely will like internationalization and resource injection. You don't need workbenches. You might not need centralized error management, maybe too simple. But that's the point. What we like to do with this JSR is to have some sort of a structure that everybody can follow creating desktop applications. but do not force you into just one stereotype.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Werner, yeah, that's also along the lines of what I saw on the last slide, because many of the interested parties have a strong interest in either Java FX or Eclipse or something else. So would you see this independent of a particular presentation layer or underlying platform? And especially, for example, Lars Vogel, I just met him in Hamburg at a demo camp, and he actually said that he doesn't really have that much interest in participating in the JCP. So I'm not sure if he would want to join such a GSR, but maybe him. Maybe he reconsiders if it was actually filed. So do you see this independent of a particular platform or flexible? Hello?
Did we lose Andres?
Yeah, I can hear Andres. So you can still hear me, I assume?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
So we might have lost.
The WebEx thing is gone.
Okay, well, we can give him a minute to come back on. You can also follow up an email.
I guess it's still recorded. Should he not be able to reconnect, he could listen to it later and maybe reply by email. Is it still recorded?
Yes, we're being recorded.
Yes, okay.
I'll post the recording in a couple of days, and I'll send out the link. All right.
Heather, it would be useful if you would also post a pointer to the blog if he doesn't contain one in his...
Yes. Yes, Andre's blog. I will.
Okay, because people can follow up there, I think, also, right?
Okay. All right, so, yeah, if anybody else has comments or questions, you can follow up to my email that I'll send out on this particular topic, since we don't have Andres anymore. But maybe, Patrick, did you want to have time for general questions, or did you have anything else that you wanted to cover? I think we came to the end of the agenda.
We can certainly take any questions if anybody wants to ask any, so let's see. Otherwise, we can end. So, anybody have any questions, comments, thoughts, suggestions, anything at all really relating to the JCP? Nope. Okay. Too much dead air here, Heather. I suggest we begin to wrap this up, close down the recording, and I guess we're done.
Okay, so thanks for listening. I'm going to go ahead and turn off the recording. Give me a minute.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Heather.
Okay.